This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio. A little after 5:20, my friend Karen McCord, author of Only Rainbows, the Carly McCord story, about Karen's dealing with grief and losing Carly. We lost her back in December of 2019, tragic plane crash, and she was a rising star in the sports world, and getting to know Carly for all those years. And we'll have Karen on to talk about her dealing with that and also Carly's kind of journey. It was a short one, but man, it was memorable, and we got some great stories between the two of us. So we'll have Karen on a little after 5:20. Charlie, before we talk a little bit about Combine, NFL Combine, because that's in 10 days.
Yep.
Basically next Friday it cranks up. Also, I'll get Kyle Mosley on to talk about the HBCU Legacy Bowl, which is this coming Saturday here in New Orleans, about the players there, and we'll get him to talk about the participants there. One of the texters, I think it's 1509, says, "Wow, Mike, I can't believe Tim Brandel called out the SEC on their scheduling. Most people criticize the Big Ten for playing weak teams, while the SEC sort of gets away with late-season cupcakes. He puts on there Jaden Daniels piled up a lot of yards against Army." Okay, Jaden Daniels piled up a lot of yards against SEC teams, too.
Look at what he did to Florida.
And so, but the truth is that everybody's got cupcakes on the schedule, and that is true. What Timmy, and I've done this with Brando before on different outlets, and Tim has long talked about moving instead of 8 SEC games to have a 9th, but now, because the Big Ten and the SEC are the tag team champions of the world and won't be defeated anytime soon, that one game a year, they'll play one another. You play a game against a Big Ten team if you're an SEC team. So that would take you to 10. You would still have a couple games, like for LSU to play, say, a Southern or Nicholls State or Louisiana Tech or Southeastern, whatever. But to have that 10th game basically become an SEC versus Big Ten game and a 9th SEC team. And I think Greg Sankey was holding this out until he could maybe get a few more bucks from the networks, and I think that's exactly what he's done. I do think that is going to happen, and it happened very quickly. I know Charlie brought up about Ross Dellinger, and they are talking about that this week, and I think it won't be long before they come up with that deal that yearly – an SEC team will play a Big Ten team. Now, LSU last year, they played two. They played USC to start the season and UCLA during the season. Now, people say, what? USC, UCLA, they part of the Big Ten now.
Not traditionally, but now they are for sure.
So, man, wouldn't it be great LSU go and play Penn State, or Penn State come to Tiger Stadium, Michigan to come to Tiger Stadium or you to go to Ann Arbor. I think that would be great for the game. And I agree with Timmy totally on that. You would still have room to play a couple games, money games, for other state schools or from other conferences. But you would add a ninth SEC game, and you would have a Big Ten team. I think that, to me, is what they're trying to iron out this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. And 10 of your 12 regular season games then instantly become very fascinating, right? And that keeps fans engaged throughout a majority of the season. I agree 1,000%, Mike. I think it's a great idea. And what Timmy was saying as well about moving it all up, so it's not competing with the NFL playoffs. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir.
Okay, what you up against?
NFL preseason football?
Preseason?
No.
Come on. Man, and if you line this up just right with those early season games, man, you're going to have unbelievable numbers to watch college football.
Right. So, Mike, as you kind of alluded to, I wanted to get your thoughts on a specific player. We're going to do your position rankings pretty soon here in a couple weeks as we get closer to the NFL draft. But as you said, we are 10 days away from the NFL combine. And I've seen some varying opinions on this guy. Some think he's a top 10 pick. I kind of lean that direction as well. Armon Membue, the right tackle from Missouri. And I saw this great stat from Hayden Winks of Underdog Fantasy. And this just jumped off the page to me. And I'll read it out to everyone. Missouri right tackle Armon Membue's pressure rate allowed against these top 50 prospects. Jalen Walker from Georgia. Mykel Williams, also from Georgia. James Pierce, the speedy edge rusher from Tennessee. Shamar Stewart and Nick Scarton, both from, obviously, Texas A&M. Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. And Jack Sawyer from Ohio State. All of those guys are in a loaded defensive line class. All of them are going to be first or second round picks. Armon Membue's pressure rate against those players, 2.7%. Mike, I saw a consensus big board via the NFL mock draft database, and they've got Armon Membue around like 19 on this big board.
Ain't no way.
And I just don't see it at all, because if you look at, you know, if you look at the draft order, right? I think once you get to the Jets at 7, that's when the range for Armon Membue starts. Because they could use a right tackle. I think Morgan Moses is going to be a free agent this year. Carolina, their offensive line was solid. They're going to be investing in skill position players or defense. That's what they're going to be doing. New Orleans at 9 could 100% take Armon Membue and play him at right tackle. Chicago, they need all the offensive line help in the world. They could take Membue at tackle or even play him on the interior. San Francisco at 11, Dallas at 12, Miami at 13. All of these teams could use a guy like Armon Membue. And I want to get your thoughts on them, because I've seen some varying opinions, Mike, but I think we're kind of in lockstep here.
Because there's people that haven't watched him.
I think we're in lockstep here that if you're talking about the top tackles in this draft class, it's Will Campbell and Membue. A lot of people will say,
close.
You know, kind of Kelvin Banks or whatever. I think it's those two, and then there's a gap. Membue was so impressive this year. And let me, once again, read off those players that he went against. Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams, James Pierce, Shamar Stewart, Nick Scorton, Donovan Ezeraku, Jack Sawyer. All legit defensive line prospects in a loaded class. Pressure rate allowed 2.7%. This dude is a stud, Mike. And if you're talking about Saints prospects at 9, I know last week we talked about Tyler Warren, and you get that legit pass-catching weapon, just offensive weapon in general at the tight end position. But if you want an offensive lineman, You do not have to sell me on Armon Membue at pick 9.
Okay, it's razor close with him and Campbell. Razor close. And he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
20. And so you're talking about a young offensive lineman and all these guys that probably haven't watched him play more than a couple of snaps will say, well, he's not lengthy enough to play tackle. He's going to play right tackle in the NFL, just like Campbell will play left tackle in the NFL. It's none of these kick inside. They're both going to play tackle. It is razor close, and he is an unbelievable athlete. Now, the technical part of it, both of them need a little bit of work. You watch how, you know, Will Campbell sets up. You know, you're not going to play like that in the NFL. They're going to do a little work with him. Same thing with Armon. Exact same way. They're going to work on his technique a little bit on the setup, but both are quick-footed. They both have ability to stun that pass rusher coming off the edge. And I think both will go in the top 12 picks. But it is going to be close. When he's going to go to the combine, everybody's going to say, well, wait. He's that good. The other guy, big man, Kenneth Grant from Michigan. Okay, and I'm a big Mason Graham fan. And I think he's one of the top For me, it's Travis Hunter, and he's one. It's Abdul Carter. He's two. Mason Graham, three.
And those are the
one,
three,
two, three.
Those are the three blue chip prospects from this class, Mike.
And the three.
There's a little bit of a gap after those three. However, you do see some of these players in the first round still that are
but
solid.
Watch a Kenneth Grant. People got him going 29, 30. Wait till he goes to the combine.
The Bills would love him at 30, but he's not going that
he's
late.
He's going to go that late.
He's not going that late.
All you got to do is talk to Jim Harbaugh. He raved about him.
Yeah.
He waved in at the East-West Shrine Game at 340 pounds. That's probably the lightest he's been since he was a 10th grader. But, man, can he move for a big man, clogs up everything inside, is a good pass rusher, and he needs some work there. But, man, can he play the run, and can he run the field east and west extremely well? So you're talking about two big men that I think will come out of that combine, and people will say, wow, you're hearing it here. It's Mimble. And it's Kenneth Grant.
Yeah, we are 10 days away from the combine, Mike. And just, I can't wait to see the buzz about Membu because we're both big fans of his game. And you've mentioned this before as well, Mike. When you have Taliese Fuaga on the left side of your offensive line, your left tackle for the future, he had a very strong rookie campaign. And, I mean, that's your guy. That's your stalwart on the blind side. You need a right tackle still. I think Membu could be a legitimate option for the Saints at pick 9. And once again, I would not be upset with it. And Kenneth Grant, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see where he eventually ends up going because I do think he's DT number two behind Mason Graham.
Clear cut, he's two.
Right. But, you know, around that kind of early teens range, if you want to trade back for Kenneth Grant, look, I wouldn't blame you, but you can't trade back too far because once you get to kind of the middle of the teens, that's when he's going to be gone.
Okay, because nobody from the league is going to tell you, boy, we really like Mimbu. We really like Kenneth Grant. You know why? They don't want to say nothing.
Right.
They don't want to say nothing good about anybody. Now, they might lie to you and tell you something about somebody, but they don't want to tell you anything good because if you picking 9 or 8 through 13, 14, those two guys are going to be in part of the conversation.
And I still do think the Saints are in a good trade back spot because of who's picking right behind them with the Chicago Bears and how desperate the Chicago Bears are in need of offensive line help. That if you really want one of those top guys, you got to move up to pick 9.
Yeah, you got to find a dance partner, though.
Yeah,
that's going to be the thing.
But you can't trade back too far if you want to get someone like Kenneth Grant or even Membu. I think Membu's probably going to be gone by pick 12.
When we come back, have on with us Karen McCord, author of Only Rainbows, The Carly McCord Story, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. She's the author of Only Rainbows, the Carly McCord story, Karen McCord. Karen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. You never guess this, but every week I get sent something from Amazon. Okay, you got that cell phone in your hand. They know basically everything about you. And what their recommendation was for the book this week? Only Rainbows. I just showed that to Steve Geller. And so tell everybody a little bit how you can get the book. And I think it's, what, a little bit more than a week from now, it'll be out for the general public?
Yes, it's 8 days away on February 25th, and we're going to actually go into Tiger Stadium and release the book on the 50-yard line. How about that?
Well, I know, I know Carly would like that.
Oh, she would. You know she would. She would love this publicity, right? But anyway, yeah, the book is going to be launched in 8 days. You can pre-order it right now. And it's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and all the good stores coming up. So we're real excited about it. It's been 4 years of love and effort and lots of interviews, as you know, because I interviewed you a whole bunch as well for the book.
Karen, also, this is about getting over grief, because the worst thing can happen as a parent, you lose a child. And someone, too, that you could see her trajectory, that she would, even though she didn't believe that, because she'd always tell me, oh, Mike, I don't know if I'm doing any good right now. I really don't. But she didn't really see the big picture with her. She was a little impatient. That part we both agree on. But I think she didn't really recognize that. But also for you writing this book, it was cathartic for you.
It was very cathartic for me, Mike. It took, like I said, 4 years to do, and I interviewed lots of people. In fact, I interviewed over 100 people. And, you know, it's so interesting because you think you know your child. I mean, she's been my child for 30 years at that point. But you don't know the grown-up child. Like, for example, the people she worked with. And the people that she worked with on an everyday basis. And so when I wrote the book, it was very interesting because I would hear stories that I never even knew of. For example, one hilarious story was is she was actually the producer on Matt Moscone's show, and Shaquille O'Neal was in the studio, and she said, and Shaq said, "Hey, I can come on Matt's show." And she looked at her roster and she goes, "Well, Shaq, I don't have time for you today, but if you, you know, you come back tomorrow, I can put you on the schedule." And, you know, Matt Moscone's like, "You never turn down Shaq." She goes, "Well, I just did." And she said, "And I told him to come back tomorrow." And he came back the next day and she did chin-ups on his arms while he did the show. So, you know, that's just one small example of something that I didn't know until after I've, you know, did some research in the book, and it just brought me such joy that she was just that raw and goofy to get away with that kind of stuff, you know?
No question about it. And she would always tell me when people would tell her something about, "I want to be like you, Carly," she would always say, "Oh, no, you want to be a lot better than me." And she was she'd always tell me, "Mike, I want to be like you one day. But more importantly, I want your bank account. That's what I want." That more than anything. And she'd get a big kick out of it with everything. But she, in talking to younger people in this business, her deal was, "Yes, I've made it to a certain point, but I want you to be better than me." Not a lot of people would think that way.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, that is in the book. I want, you know, that I want you to be better than me. And she would also always look at the television and go, "Look, it's me. I'm on TV. I'm famous." And that kind of silliness. But to transition, I do want to say that it wasn't until after her death, and it really the day of the plane crash, that I realized how famous she actually was, Mike. I had no idea because I was Mom, you know, and she was Carly. And when it hit all over the news and People's Magazine was calling and CBS were, you know, and all of these people were just ringing our phones and text messaging. And, you know, at one point we went on our phone and there was actually 3,000 text messages. It was just a crazy day, but I didn't realize that she had hit that pinnacle of fame. She was just my daughter, and that was good enough, and that was special enough, you know, to be my daughter. And I didn't realize how many famous people she actually knew until I interviewed for the book, you know, and put all these interviews into the book. I didn't realize that.
I was telling Steve this story. And for people that don't know, Carly kind of had a sassy mouth to her. It was salty. So if you was expecting anything, you know, that wasn't. She had that tone about her. But I remember, yeah, I think it was the day after this happened, she had done a AAA baseball game. And she's doing a report, and this guy right behind her is doing the monkey shines and everything else. And she had had enough of it. And so very subtly, but with a sharp hit, she turns and just jabs this guy with her elbow and sort of bends him over. And she was, "I'm going to clean it up a little bit." She said, "Mike, this jerk, he's jumping around and trying to get famous." "Well, I got him famous, all right. I bent him over with my elbow." People don't realize Carly in her weight class was a championship weightlifter.
She was. And, you know, Mike, it's so funny because she can use the F word with the best of them.
Could she?
And sometimes we would have to say, "Carly, we're at Thanksgiving dinner. Put your Southern voice on, please. There are children in the room." You know, but she was a character. But, yes, she was actually a power lifter in her in her high school years, and then she was a beauty queen in her college years, and then she was her sportscaster in her final years.
She comes to Louisiana Line Camp, so her deal is, "Mike, you got to get me an interview with Pete Jenkins." I'm like, okay. I said, but we're going to have to do it, you know, after the practice session. And, you know, Pete's sort of ornery this day. And so somebody said, Pete, you got to do an interview. I'm not doing no interview. He said, I'm hot, I'm bothered, everything else. So they came back and told me, Pete's not doing the interview. I was like, okay. I said, I'll take care of it. So I walked over to him. He's sitting in the golf cart. I said, Pete, you got to do an interview after. Ah, Mike, I don't know about that. And he said, well, who I got to do the interview with? I said, see this little lady right here? He said, Mike, I'll be there right after practice. He flipped it real quick. He says, that the lady, little lady? I said, that's the one. His first thing is, what the hell are you doing hanging around with this guy? He said, you got to give me a good answer, Carly. You got to give me a good one. But that was Carly. She was great, and she learned how to do interviews very well. And I thought that was the gift with her, of being able to kind of set you up to get you to say something you might not get in a normal interview.
Right. You know, and you're very right with that. To expound on your latter comment, it was so funny. I was interviewing Paul Maneri, and he would laugh and he'd go, I always knew when Carly was interviewing me, because all of the baseball players would come to me and get in the shot to make sure that they could get a quick look at her. But, you know, she did take her job very, very seriously.
Yes.
And, you know, Mike, it was interesting because as I was looking through her notebooks after she had passed away, she had notebooks and notebooks on players and plays and beach volleyball rules and regulations. And you could tell through these notebooks that she would study, and she would study her craft to make sure that she did women proud when she went on to be a woman announcer. And that was her strong point, was as women in sports. And she'd say, you have to work harder. And she says, but the rewards are great. And, you know, she did study her craft. And, you know, she was right there, Mike. She was ready to hit the national stage right as she was, you know, as the plane crashed. And that's the reason why I wanted to write Only Rainbows, because I kept thinking to myself, she was this close, and I'm holding my hands. It was like within an inch close to hitting the national stage. And so I really, as a mom, I want to put her on the national stage. And I want this book to be a bestseller because she worked so hard to get there, and she was on the cusp, Mike.
Yep.
And, she didn't make it, but so I'm hoping the book Only Rainbows will push her over the edge. What you think?
Yeah, I do believe. Now, the other part of this is her grandfather. He was the first full-time, I guess, call-in or talk show in the New Orleans area. He was the very first guy, and I called him, was like, Mike, you got to meet my grandpa. He wants to meet you, really wants to meet you. And when she told me, I was like, you didn't tell me that was your grandfather. She was like, okay, that's part of my interest in sports was because of him.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. My dad had a talk show called Let's Talk It Over on WTIX and then WNOE, the latter part. And his name was Joe Collada. Let's Talk It Over. And he had gotten out of the business way before Carly had gotten into the business. But, you know, it's so interesting because it must run in our genes, because I did broadcasting for a little while in Baton Rouge. And then Carly did it. And then, of course, Jordy Collada did it. And we also have a cousin that is a talk show host in Colorado. And so it must run in the gene somewhere, but she always aspired to my dad and looked up to him. And you know what was interesting, Mike? When my dad passed away, right before he passed away, he called Carly into the room and he said, Carly, I used to always wish my family happy birthday on everybody's birthday, and you've got to promise me that when I'm gone, you will wish everybody a happy birthday on air. wherever you are. You promised me that. And, you know, to the day Carly died, she would wish, you know, Kaylee, her sister or her brother or myself or Tracy, happy birthday. And she honored that wish until, of course, the plane crash.
The funny thing about that is every birthday for me, she was always the first one to text me. Now, at this time, my mom's still alive, and so I always kept my cell phone on just in case something had happened with her. So I'd keep it on, and you would figure like 12:05, 12:10 on my birthday. The first thing to come in was her. So she was like, okay, you got – I was the first one, right? I was like, yeah, but you woke me up. And she was like, oh, okay, I'm going to clean this too. She was like, okay, you got it from me, though, didn't you? I was like, yeah, thank you. I do appreciate it. One of the funny stories with her is people never realize how good of a singer she was, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And so she would sing all the time, and she had a voice for somebody that was, what, 110, 115 pounds soaking wet. She had some pipes on her. So her and I are doing an event on the bayou, and we co-guest speakers that night. And the guy who had the event, and I mean, they got 700-800 people there. He tells me the individual that's going to do the national anthem, he's sick and won't be able to do it. Mike, man, I don't know who I'm going to get. I was like, well, hold on a second. I said, maybe Carly could do it. He's like, well, has she sung before? And boy, it clicked in my head. I was like, yeah, a time or two. I think maybe she's done a high school game, but man, I just played him out. So I walked up to her and I said, hey, look, come see. I said, could you sing the national anthem tonight? And she was like, what kind of scheme you got? I said, no scheme. Just play along with me and tell him, yeah, you can do it. And she was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Well, he was sweating bullets. We all at the same table together now. Mm-hmm. And I could tell he was telling other people at the table, we got Carly, but, you know, Mike's saying something about she's only sang at a high school game or something like this. So they didn't know the game I was talking about. Carly sang right before the Cavaliers playoff games.
Right, I was just going to say, the Cleveland Club Cavaliers, she sang at the playoff game.
Yes. And so, but I knew it, and I'd heard her sing before, and she would say, oh, Mike, I'm just a lounge singer, which I think she was right about. She wasn't a classically trained singer, but boy, she had some pipes on her. So he makes signal to me, tell Carly to come up with me. So I said, you got to get up and go sing. She was like, Mike, what you got going? Do you have money involved with this? I was like, just don't worry about it. And so she got up and they introduced her. And I could tell this guy was really nervous. And finally, he gives her the mic and those first two notes. And everybody just, I felt like the room look at me like, what is this? No, Carly could sing, and she was unbelievable at it. So when she came back, my wife was, okay, Carly, he set you up. Because they didn't know. He talked about a high school game. He didn't say anything about singing for a Cleveland Cavaliers playoff game. And that she sang different places. And the thing about it is she was teaching kids in China how to speak English, but she would play records for them. So they got a generation of Chinese children that have heard Justin Bieber over and over and over.
Right.
But that's why she taught them how to speak English. Unbelievable.
That is. And, you know, it's so funny, Mike, because your audience can go to the YouTube video, and it's Carly McCord sings Hallelujah. And you can actually hear her sing because she did the pageant routines for a little while. And the big thing was is her songs, her talent, and she would blow them away every time.
And she was telling me, Mike, I got robbed twice, not once, but twice. I don't see how I lost.
The first loser.
Oh, man. But I kind of rubbed it in a little bit on us. Okay. No, she said she wasn't better than me. I'm just telling you. I was like, okay. But that would always kind of rile her up a little bit. Karen, tell everybody a little bit how they can get the book. And you say the official release 8 days from now on in Tiger Stadium.
In Tiger Stadium, February 25th, and you can go pre-order it now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's. The book is only rainbows, and I promise you, you won't be disappointed. And if you have somebody that is experiencing grief and you don't know what to give them, give them this book because I do believe it was God written to help people who are grieving, especially children, people who have lost children. And I thank you so much, Mike, for giving me this time. Hugs and much love. And Mike is in the book.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate it. And you know how I feel about you and the whole family. And so God bless you. And I'll see you at a bookstore nearby very soon.
Sounds good. Hugs and much love.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Karen. Karen McCord, author of Only Rainbows, the Carly McCord story, Carly and I. Well, we got some stories throughout the years, her and I. We did some crazy stuff together, I'll be honest with you. We'll be back on our triple option feature right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. I'm going to answer a text question. 3225, is Coach Moore going to look for an OC in name only? Or will it be a joint effort calling plays? Kellen Moore, before he even took the job, said if he becomes a head coach somewhere, he will be the play caller. He will. Now, it's all a joint effort if it's offensive coordinator, assistant head coach, whatever. But the play calling on game day, it's going to be Kellen Moore. He made actually talked about that before he even took the Saints job, or I think it may have been in the days right after maybe the official interview. Someone in Philly asked him about it, and he was open about it, that if I become a head coach one day, I will be the play caller. And that is similar to a guy we had here once already, and that was Sean Payton. And who called the defense for the Saints before he was fired? Dennis Allen. He was the play caller on defense. Steve?
I am going with the best all-star weekend that we've got right now, and that's in the NHL with this four teams taking part, you know, USA, Sweden, Canada, and Finland going on in action. The ratings have been amazing for it as well, and the four nations face-off. ESPN had 4.4 million viewers watching USA taking on Canada. It was the most viewed non-Stanley Cup hockey telecast since 2019. The action is still intense. It's basically like a mini Olympics. If you were watching the USA-Canada game, 9 seconds into the bout, we had three fights taking part right off the bat. So I just think that the NHL and the NFL, maybe they can learn something from this. I'm not sure, maybe the NFL, but NBA definitely needs a lot of help with their all-star action. And man, oh man, I don't think the NHL can go back to their old ways anytime soon. This little Four Nations matchup is going to be awesome. They got another matchup tonight with USA taking on Sweden, but we do know that the U.S. is already in the final, and they'll be hosting Canada. I believe that matchup will be in Boston, so that'll be a must-watch on Thursday.
Yeah, Molly? Considering how that first game went.
For sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, that watches hockey in the postseason, because I think the NHL is one of the best postseasons in all sports. It's like them, the NFL, MLB, all have fantastic postseasons. I've been entranced by the NHL's Four Nations tournament. I think it's been a bunch of fun. Guys, I'm going with the stat that I read off earlier, Mike, when we were talking about LSU baseball, specifically the bullpen. In the first series of the year, Mikey Matuk had kind of crunched the numbers, mic'd up. 12 innings pitched, 3 hits, 0 runs, and this is what just is fantastic. As if those other numbers aren't great. 24 strikeouts to 1 walk. In 12 innings pitched from this bullpen.
Pound that zone.
I mean, they are, like, that's exactly what you want to see early on, especially because this is the first live game action that these guys are seeing this year. That's fantastic, and I hope they only build upon it. Now, Purdue-Fort Wayne level of competition, that's obviously a question there, but I think it's something to keep an eye on as the season progresses. Not just that starting rotation that, you know, we were really high on with, obviously, Chase Shores, who pitched on Sunday, Anthony Ianson, who did stuff with the U.S. Collegiate National Team, you know, pitching on Saturday, and then the sophomore, Cade Anderson, who had some great run in his freshman campaign, pitching on Friday. It's a strong weekend rotation right off the bat, but the depth and the bullpen pieces, guys, is what really makes me excited for this LSU baseball team. I think they're just going to be so solid on the mound all season long. And Mike, you and I were talking a little bit during the break. It's just like, who's going to be pitching these next two games? I think it's an interesting question, yeah, because it hasn't been thrown out just yet. However, I have an idea, and this is my early idea, and I could be wrong. I think Zach Cowan's going to pitch one of the games, the transfer from Wofford, because he was just a workhorse with the Terriers last year who made the NCAA tournament. he's probably going to be a midweek starter for this team. And that just shows you how great their pitching depth is. Now, the other one I'm a little bit more kind of up in the air on. I'm not exactly sure. My guess is going to be Connor Ware, because I think Jay Johnson brought him up earlier. He's the JUCO transfer. Could be a guy that could start on the midweek as well for this team. But he mentioned like Gavin Guidry and Connor Ware and Zach Cowan still all haven't pitched yet.
Right.
They used 9 pitchers, and they still have these other 3 guys that could all be potential starters for the midweek. So we'll see how it goes. But I can't rave enough about this Tiger pitching staff early on. They look awesome.
And you could almost hear it in Coach Johnson's voice yesterday. Almost giddiness.
Yeah.
And he tried to mask it, but you could almost hear him talking about it, that, whoa, I think I got something really special with this baseball team. We'll come back. We'll finish it off here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing off here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. I want to thank Tim Brando joining us from Fox Sports, and also Karen McCord, author of Only Rainbows, the Carly McCord Story. Man, got a lot of Saints news, and so Matt Parris is joining you, Steve, at 6:30. A lot of decisions by Kellen Moore. I mean, we can all talk about what we do, but it is going to be Kellen Moore, decisions on assistant coaches, and what happens with Derek Carr, what happens with Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I think it's odd, you know, that report came out about Taysom Hill. The Saints would still have to eat a lot of money with Taysom cutting him outright. I just don't believe that one. We'll see what happens there. Kellen Moore, when I say he, spoke very highly of Taysom Hill, saying obviously one of a kind guy. I don't know if he really wants to part ways with him either. I know that salary is an issue and recovery from his injury.
Man, salary's an issue all over the board. And also Koke Riley at 7:30. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.